You ready for Freddy? Now that's a fucking bong hit. Greetings from Podcastville. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by CBDLion.com. Listen, they have cured my fucking hamstring. They have taken down my anxiety. My sleep level is better. My skincare is better because I use their lotion as a fucking lotion. I use their lotion as a lotion. Who's better than me? My leg skin hasn't looked better in for years. My legs look like I was a fucking burn victim. And now my legs, they're beautiful. This because I had dry skin. And for fucking, I don't know why. But anyway, listen, when it comes to CBD, don't buy it at the airport. Don't buy it at Al's Liquor. Don't buy CBDLion.com. That's the page. That's the place to be. Gummy bears, tinctures, bath fucking balls. I mean, you name it, they got it. Go check out the third-party test results right now. Go to CBDLion.com/church and get 20% off your first order. The Church is also brought to you by Onnit. Listen to me. When it comes to supplements, they're not fucking around. The contest is over for the Alpha Brain. You fucked up. And now they got the 6 weeks challenge that you should have joined. You fucked up. Go to Onnit. Stay in touch with what they're doing. Subscribe to the newsletter. Even if you just do that. But if you're thinking you're slipping lately, your memory, bop, 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 Alpha Brain is the way to go. It's their fucking satellite fucking product. Why? 100% money back guarantee, and they don't want the product back. Nobody else does that in the business, okay? So go fuck yourself. Go to Onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
Boom, and get 10% off your motherfucking order, all right? And with that said, the great and powerful, my brother, Mr. Dean Del Rizzi, is in studio today, along with the Christ Killer. What is it there, Johnny No Sugar?
Oh, man. Before we even start the show, well, we started the show, but I want to say happy birthday to you.
Thank you, my brother.
Fucking brother right there.
Thank you, my brother. 57 years
born on the same day Bon Scott died. So you just took the reins and rolled.
And I still remember that winter fucking day when he died. I did a hit of acid. It was a great day.
Oh.
And then we ended the day with finding out poor Bon Scott had died.
So. That's you were born on the day Bon Scott died. I was born on the day Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and Richie Valens died. So we're just a couple of guys just carrying
Bad luck.
Yeah, we're carrying the torch still, man.
Now you know why I don't go to Vegas. You know,
yeah. Happy now birthday, you know, dude.
Thank
fucking
you, brother.
Great, man.
It feels fucking surreal.
I remember the first time I heard that was your birthday, we were like on the road or something. I went, wait a minute, that's the day Bond died.
Yeah,
I'll never forget your birthday.
Yeah, no, it's fucking crazy.
God,
it's crazy how I don't even know how I got here.
Yeah,
I'm living.
57.
57. I'm living the life of that guy in that Talking Heads commercial. You know that song. How did I get here? Like that every day.
Yeah.
Every day I drive around, I'm like, how did I end up in California? Like, sometimes you take California for granted, you know, light, and you see a fucking palm tree.
Oh.
You're like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck happened? I was just in a fucking jail in Colorado, you know? I was just getting processed. I thought my life was over. I'm surrounded with fucking palm trees.
You so know, great. I love it, man.
Life is a fucking journey and a half, man.
Yeah.
And it's so weird how you have to give it a chance and just have a little bit of hope and you're fucking there. I mean, that's basically it.
I mean, as much as they say, it sounds corny, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, it's so real. Because each year you keep going. You know, so I remember one time somebody said something to me. I said, nothing's happened. And they said, oh, it was Ian Edwards. And he said, well, did you do Conan last year? I go, no. He goes, were you passed at the Comedy Cellar last year? I go, no. And he goes, well, then it's happening. It's, you know, you just forget because you're just in it every day. And then you go, you're right, man. I'm just each year getting a little further and still in it, which is awesome.
How old do you feel? Like, if you had to guess, if you woke up, do you think you'd be 18?
How old do I feel, Lee, honestly? I feel about 44.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel about 44, 45. You know, I tomorrow I'm going to make a date for the physical. My knee hurts. You know, I have a little tendonitis in my right shoulder. I still have good energy.
Yeah.
I do feel the 50s surge of testosterone that I read about. You have two surges a day as a man, and you have to ride them. You know, that's why I know I have to work out early. If I don't do my shit early, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I lie to myself every night, and I sat here and lied to you guys 2 weeks ago. I have gone to jiu-jitsu. Just cannot go at night.
Yeah.
There's no, I've even tried to hit the bag at night. Like I said to myself, at 8 o'clock, I'm going to go in the backyard. For years, that was my favorite thing, was to get high at night, put some music on, and fucking punch the shit out of a bag.
Yeah,
combination, kick it. You do 30 minutes on a bag every night, the fat falls right off you. It falls right off you. You see it within 2 weeks. Just the first 2 weeks of punching,
yeah,
you burn a bunch of baby fat off your arms and you increase the speed in your punches. For years, that was my thing. Was going out of a garage in Boulder, I had a backyard in Aspen.
Yeah.
In Basalt, we had a backyard and it was connected to a tree. And at night, that 8 o'clock lull when people were watching TV, I get super fucking high. I always figured out I always had a ghetto blaster.
Yeah.
Or something. I wrapped my hands. There were some nights for years I didn't even have punching bag gloves. I just wrapped my hands with the wrap, two wraps.
Yeah.
And I just hit the bag. And that's how I stayed in shape. There's nights I'm like, I'm going to go out there tonight at 8 o'clock and hit the bag. Fuck it, I open up the door and I'm so scared. It's dark out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going out there. You know, so how do I feel? If I would have taken care of myself in my 30s, the way I'm taking care of myself now would have been a different game. For all you guys listening, take care of yourselves in your 30s. It's a crucial, crucial point of your life. It's very crucial. It sets you up. You know, a lot of these people get cancer at 38, 42.
That's crazy.
Why don't fuck around? I lost control of my life at 36. I lost control of my life at 16.
Yeah.
But the real loss of control was when I moved here because of my love and passion for comedy. You know, I wasn't going to live the Joe Rogan lifestyle. I wanted to live the Lenny Bruce lifestyle.
Yeah, right, you know? Right. Richard Pryor.
That means not taking care of yourself, eating whatever, you know. And I wish I would have done it different. You asked me, I wish I would have joined the Army, you know. Yeah. I wish I would have done a lot of things.
Yeah.
You could join the Army and come out when you're 38, still get into comedy.
Yeah.
And at 48, be a fucking star with a pension. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, so who the fuck fucked up here? Right now, I could have had a pension, top-notch insurance, people saluting me at the fucking doctor's office. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking, I fucked up.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody today at boxing was saying that their friend fucking watched a stand-up special. He goes, "It's just on the way out." He goes, "Can I ask you a question? A personal question?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Ah, I know you're a stand-up." He goes, "A friend of a friend of a friend's, we went to a party Sunday and we seen her quit her job at 45 to get into stand-up." And I just loaded my bag up. And he goes, "What do you think of that?" And I go, "Happens all the time." And he goes, "But why would somebody wait?" I go, "Because they didn't know what they really wanted out of this fucking life."
Yeah.
One day they clocked in and said, it's like a punch to the head. It's like getting knocked out. Like, what am I doing here? I just want to be in a car with zero responsibilities. You know, my cards are paid for. I have nothing to lose. I got 50,000 in credit. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, that's her plan.
That's it.
Gonna finance her whole comedy career And she hopes she makes it. And I go, those are the people that make it.
Yeah, you roll the dice,
those
man.
Those are the people that go, fuck it. We got to take care of this.
You got to fucking gamble on yourself,
you
man.
You do. From time to time, you got to take a fucking chance. Columbus, it makes life more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to my neighbor the other day. I got off the fucking plane, and I got dropped off in Burbank, and I saw my neighbor outside, and he goes, where are you coming from? And he goes, Tempe. And he goes, how long have you been doing this for? Because he always sees me coming home on Sundays.
Yeah.
And we usually just say hello. And he goes, where'd you go this weekend? And this time he came over. This guy's fucking... Have you ever seen my neighbor?
No, I've only heard stories.
The old man.
No.
I have a couple different neighbors, but this guy is the old man.
I met the woman, the one that knows the rockers.
That's her husband. That's his
okay,
wife.
Yeah.
Her husband's got to be 78.
Wow.
Wait till you guys see him. Beside his white hair, you don't know he's 78.
Oh, Jack O'Lane in shape?
Why?
Why?
Because he's always moving.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many times I wake up in the morning to take trash out, and he's digging a trench, and I got to walk back and embarrass him. This motherfucker's digging a trench, and I'm on a computer tweeting, go fuck your mother, have a good day. You know, what type of bum am I? You know?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, enough of that shit. Listen, I want to congratulate you on your podcast.
No.
You've really kicked it up to the next level. Even though nobody's noticing, I'm fucking noticing.
Oh, I know. You called me. It felt so good.
Fucking the guy.
Kirk Hammett.
You know, people wrote articles about it. I mean, I was actually pissed. You could hear it in my voice that day.
Yeah.
I was pissed that. You are there. You're up there with Eddie Trunk and these guys. You're really there. And Sirius isn't reaching out. Volume isn't reaching out. None of these people reaching out. But there's two sides to that coin.
Yeah.
That could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Or you could use it as a whatever, you know. I mean, you're getting guests there that most radio people don't get on. And it's not even that people, there's a podcast out of New York. Great guys. Great podcast. And they were reaching out to one guy constantly. And I said, don't define your podcast by a guest.
Yeah.
Don't ever define your podcast by a guest. But if you do get him, make the best of him and always have those guests lined up. You know, I hate these people that contact you and they go, do my podcast. And all of a sudden you want to do that podcast, but you look at the numbers they're getting and you go, all I'm going to do is spike their numbers for a week and then it's going to go down again. You have to have a plan. If you call me and say, listen, I'm getting you on, then behind you I'm getting the guy from this band, and behind you I'm getting this actor, at least you can get a chance of spiking it.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to spike your podcast for one guest, it's not worth the aggravation of you chasing that one guest. Line up 20 of them and then attack. You know what I'm saying? Fucking reach out to publicists. Do it. This morning I was reaching out to a fucking publicist.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you've got to do sometimes. And they don't hit you back.
Yeah.
They don't hit you back. But you're opening up the universe for somebody else to hit you and go, hey, my friend is a fan of this show. Could you mind if he's on? And you're like, oh, no. Yeah. But I see what you're doing. I just really want to congratulate you.
Oh, man, you know, thank you.
You just had fucking Fucko from Meryl Smith on.
Yeah.
These just aren't regular fucking guests. These are superstars. These are fucking legends that you're getting on.
Yeah.
I wish that your numbers are really growing and your fan base is growing. And, you know, I mean, when it comes to music, I tell everybody, you're the best.
Oh, thanks,
when
man.
It comes to music, because I dropped off.
Yeah.
You kept on. I dropped off. I got caught up in comedy and cocaine and divorces and jail cells
Yeah.
And you still remain loyal to the, you still go to Roxy, you still go, you know, you go to the edge of hell to see your show still.
I think, you know, that's what kept me young. You know, it's just like constantly searching for the new band, the new great film, the new great car or whatever.
How old do you feel right now?
You know, my mind, I feel like I'm constantly about 35, but I don't know, in the last couple of years I feel like 90 also at the same time. Just, I'm pretty tired a lot. And then my neck was fucked up, still rehabbing it. And the crash, those three things really kind of took me out. And also, I think I just work so much. I'm not resting properly, you know, like 7 days a week. So I'm always tired. But other than that, my mind and my enthusiasm is definitely like 35.
Listen, when you go to med school.
Yeah.
My niece is in med school. And I talk to her mother all the time. All the time. Me and Lisa talk all the time. These kids spend hours a day studying.
Yeah.
You know, they get crammed like over. You get so much material thrown at you, whatever. They're in their 20s. I know for a fact she was telling me that my niece goes to bed at like 11 and gets up at 4 to get 2 extra hours of study and then or something like that. It's the same thing with comedy, guy.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with anything that you want to make work. It's not 8 hours.
No.
It's,
not at all.
What are you talking about? It's let's do whatever you need to, you know, it's so weird how the best 2 hours of work I get in now, tonight, from 9:30 to 11, I'll get in more work than most people do in 2 days.
Yep.
I'll send out 20 emails, you know, this morning. Yesterday I did shit. I had to go lift at 10. I think I got up at 7. Between 7 and 10, I did more than most people do in a week.
Yeah.
When I left the house, I had already sent out emails, flyers, fucking shortages, you know.
Instagram.
And it's like people have no idea, you know, do you prepare the night before? Like before I go to bed, I have a little notebook and everything's checked off.
Totally.
What music I'm putting up the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I heard that brought me back. I mean, everything's a fucking written down because it's a plan of attack. It's like a fucking... I'm laying out my groundwork for the fucking day. Who I have to call, you know, every day I have a thing. I have to do something for myself. So I look at that. What am I going to do for me tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow I'm going to write an hour. I always have an hour of a goal to write.
Right.
But I always end up writing 3 hours.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Comedy store. How many times you go to a comedy store? You have a 9 o'clock spot. You're getting in your car at 12:30.
Oh.
You know.
Every time.
Every fucking time.
Every That's time.
Tripoli, I saw him today. He's like, all right, put you on a late show. I go, Trips, no late shows.
Yeah.
Because I'm walking out of there at 12:30, and I'm not in bed till 2.
Yeah.
And I'm walking around the next morning at 7, kissing some kid, getting a lunch ready. I can't fucking do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do it no more. You know, it's amazing. I cannot do it no more. If you want me to do your second show, you're going to have a problem. You got to put me up either first, second, or third. I got to be out of there by 11:30. And even then, it takes you 15 minutes to get to your car.
Oh, yeah. And parking lot.
Yeah.
Drive-bys.
Yeah.
Yo, man, let me get at you for a minute.
Yeah. And then at the parking lot, you don't know who the fuck you're going to see.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Bob Saget wants to talk to you. You haven't seen him in 20 years. You're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And you have to, now you're not mad because you have to talk to him, but now you're stuck there. Now while you get in there, you were just about ready to leave, but now 3 cars pulled up.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. So now when you got to go pull out, now they got to go get Dave and his fucking keys to his rocket ship.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cousin and the brother. Yeah. It's a fucking nightmare. People have no idea.
I love when he comes because I know we're going to talk motorcycles. We'll talk a little music. You know, it's like I'll see him and he'll be like, hey, Dean, man, what you riding? You know, like he loves motorcycles. So I know I'm not getting out of there for a while.
You know, I never see him.
Oh, man.
Never see him.
Oh, whenever I see him.
And they'll tell me he's upstairs.
Yeah.
He's about ready to go upstairs. He just announced the show 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
And it's sold out already. And I'm like, what?
I love him, man. He's like my favorite.
How does he announce shows? On Twitter?
No, he doesn't have Twitter. He doesn't have a website.
The venues do. So I guess they just call and say, we want to go on tomorrow night. And then the venue will just drop it like an hour before. He just did that at the chapel. I'm doing the chapel next Tuesday in San Fran. It's like a church. Or I'm doing it Wednesday. And he was in San Fran. He's like, yeah, just let's do some comedy tonight. Did like 4 shows or something. While he was there just over the weekend, all sold out instantly. People jumping out of their cars, running to the venue. I got to get tickets. That's how I was when I bought a ticket for him at the store when he first got back from Africa. I just saw they were putting the name up on the marquee, Dave, and I saw CH. I pulled over. Hey, what's going on? I wasn't doing comedy yet. They go, yeah, Chappelle tonight. You can get a ticket right now. I just ran over there, bought a ticket. Couldn't believe it.
I love when I see that on Twitter, but it's like from 3 hours ago. I'm like, oh, well, it's sold out now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a waste of time.
I got the dream to me, dream career. I called him recently like the Zeppelin of comedy.
Yes.
Because he's got crazy mystique and he doesn't have any social media. He doesn't do any TV appearances like clips. You know, he's not going on doing, you know, Tonight Show or any of that. It's just ninja guerrilla comedy. And then people just go crazy for it. I love it. That's the dream. That's a dream gig right there. And he's funny every fucking time, man. Every time.
The fact that he has no social media.
I love that.
And look, you know, if you look at the big guys in comedy, excusing Rogan, but Sebastian, social media isn't big.
No.
And neither is Gabriel for the tickets they sell.
Right.
You know, Gabriel sells out fucking huge amounts of people.
Oh, man.
And
didn't he just do like the Staples?
Yeah.
Like multiple nights and they gave him his own parking spot?
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm so proud of him. We had him on last week and it was fucking great.
Amazing.
It really was just nice to see. You know, the thing about comedy clubs and comics is sometimes you see each other, the ones that you really like.
Yeah.
You just bump to in passing at the store. And you feel guilty that night on the way home that you didn't ask him how his family was. You didn't congratulate him on a film that you might have seen him on or a commercial that you might have seen him in. So that's what pisses me off about just seeing comics like that at the store. Sometimes it's nice to do a podcast with them, get them away from a comedy club and just talk to them, even like us.
Yeah,
You know, unless we go on the road, I don't really fucking see you on the other side of the town. You know, I see you at the store for how long?
Yeah.
On the way in. We'll
10 minutes.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think you're up next. And I run inside and then I may see you. Or you're gone. You know?
Then you're on. Then while you're on, I'm on in the other room.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But I just want to really applaud you on the job you're doing with your podcast. And
yeah, thank you, man.
You stuck it out where a lot of people would have given up, and I could see big things happening for the podcast. It's just obvious.
It's obvious. I got to move that thing to like SiriusXM. You know, I've been meeting with them for like 3 years, and it's just on and off the same thing over and over. Let's have a meeting. We have a meeting. We eat, and then I'm like, what happened there? what were we talking about? I mean, these guests are huge. You got 516 episodes of backlog that you can put on your show. They're not promotion things. They're actual long-term, long-form conversations. So you can use those. It's hours and hours of material.
It's crazy when you... I was thinking about a person the other day. A kid I knew since he was a doorman at the store.
Yeah.
I still remember him losing a ton of weight. He went on a specific diet. I really admired him. He would bring his own food wrapped, and he told me he was weighing the portions, and I really got into him. Nice white kid. You could tell he was raised right. He went to a great college, and he became a regular. Mitzi passed him, and he wasn't the type of guy to go. And this is why I tell people comedy is such a weird journey. But this is a weird story to tell you. This isn't, and I don't mean this in an unappreciative way. I've known this guy for 20 fucking years. You know those people that take you to lunch and nothing happens? For people who are not in this industry or whatever, don't understand, I don't know if plumbers just take each other out.
Yeah.
Just to blow smoke in their ass. I don't know if electricians or cops take each other out to blow smoke in their ass. In this business, you'll get this guy, and he'll call you up, and he'll go, hey, I'm hearing great things about you, and we have some projects coming up, and we'd like to use you. Can I buy you lunch? And I'd meet him, like, fucking places where you don't need, you know, like down La Cienega.
Yeah.
When it gets towards the Wilshire, he would make me meet him there. And you got to park. And I was 400 pounds. I got to walk a half a mile from the free parking garage.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the money to pay for the real parking like regular people.
You
have those free Santa Monica parking places.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many fucking times I met him. And for years, he just moved from company to company. And it was always, we have exciting things. I would go on the webpage, and 2 days later, I'd see a picture of Lee on there. I just had lunch with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you have Lee up there? I just had lunch with you.
Yeah.
What happened to my video you were putting up? It's just 20 fucking years. Every 3 years, I get a call from him. And it's always, he's at a new company. And my name came up in the meeting, and I got a free lunch out of the deal.
Yeah. At first, that's kind of cool. You're like, oh, man, I'm going to eat the fucking filet mignon. I'm getting two sides, you know?
Yeah. And it just got old. And about 6 years ago, I said, that's it. I'm done with this guy.
Yeah.
You know? And I saw him one night, and I, hey, how you doing? He goes, we need to do lunch. I'm at a new company. I go, that's great, you know. Here we go again.
Yeah. You know.
Finally, last Friday, I get an email from him. And he's like, listen, we want you to tell a story. We usually pay people this, but we're going to pay you this. If you really try, we could pay you this. And, like, it was like, you know, I don't want to say. It was no money, basically.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there like that. It took me 22 fucking years.
Yeah, for $6?
For $600. Like, he's like, it pays 200, but I can get you four. But you could probably ask him for six.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there going, it took me 22 years to squeeze $600 out of this fucking guy.
8 hours of lunches.
Eight hours of fucking lunches.
2,000 in gas.
You know, like, people have no idea. Like, finally. I mean, this guy's been everywhere.
Yeah.
What's the other guy? The roller skating guy who was on Saturday Night Live. He had a movie that ate a bag of shit last weekend.
The roller skating guy.
What's the movie that ate a bag of shit with Julia Dreyfus last week?
I don't know.
Will Ferrell.
Oh.
He was in charge of content over there.
Funny or Die.
When I was Joey Karate,
He
fucking took me out to lunch. They were smoking my cigarettes.
Oh.
They were like, we're going to fucking, you're going to be the biggest thing on Do or Die. What's the name?
Funny or Die.
Whatever, fucking Do or Die. We're going to put all your videos. He had me in the back with fucking black people and fucking Puerto Ricans. Oh. People protesting fucking nuclear waste.
Oh.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I thought you were my buddy. I thought he was going to feature me.
Yeah.
Every morning I'd get up at 5 and my feature, and there'd be a fat fucking dude playing bongos.
Oh.
And I'm on the 9th page. I was I was ready to choke him.
Oh.
Like, I was ready to choke him.
Yeah.
Then he went somewhere else and he played me again with the Joey Karate videos. I'm like, listen, leave Joey Karate alone. I remember I hung up on him one day. Because you're just going to aggravate me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it took 9 years to get him for $600 fucking dollars.
Oh. Well, you know, I love it. It's part of the game and everything. But I always wonder what they're doing. Are they telling their bosses, what do you got going? You're not really doing anything. Well, I've got a meeting with Dean Del Rey on Thursday, and we're going to talk about this. And then that, I don't know if they're just doing it to show their boss or they're waiting. He might get giant. Let's keep him in the mix. You know, let's meet with him once every 4 or 5 months in case he gets giant. And then, you know, they'll do the old, we've always loved you. You know, slide you over. But, you know, but like people are always asking me, why do you want to be on XM radio so bad? Your podcast is doing good. And I love XM radio. And I'm thinking, well, I did want it also for healthcare, but now I got healthcare thanks to you. You're giving me the tip of, hey, go down to SAG and talk to him. But there's something about it. Just, you know, one day I feel like somebody's got to take Howard Stern's place. You know, if he retires, he's got this army of people, and they should start grooming people.
Do you want to do talk, or do you want to do, music?
I like to do talk like I'm doing on the podcast now. Interviews, so you also get to see the comedic side of me, some funny stuff and that kind of thing. You know, I'm not interested in being a DJ or anything like that. I want to be like a guy like a Stern, but also be able to do comedy every night. I want to try to get to a theater level comic. I don't want arenas or I want to be able to be on a bus, do theaters, and that during the day be doing this radio show. That's what I want to do.
5 days a week?
Yeah, sure, man. If it's like, you know, something like a Stern format, couple hours, 5 days a week. Like the LA Sirius, I wanted to do the 3 to 5, you know, or the noon to 3, one of those two spots. So I could be out all night doing comedy. And then I get up, get ready, go interview some people. Like, you know, Steve, you know, Jonesy's Jukebox, man, what a great, great format he has. A couple interviews, play some great music, and you're out of there. I think he's noon to 2. What a dream.
Do you think, and I know it's hard to deal with this while you're waiting to blow up, but to me it seems like there's a lot of room for music to blow up in podcasting, like how comedians really took it over. These musicians have so many stories, I'm almost surprised it isn't bigger for musicians.
Well, they're starting to. I mean, Tom Morello just got a show on Sirius. It's great.
We were just talking about it.
McKagan's got a show.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
No, they're starting, but now they're starting to go out more.
Yeah.
And they'll listen all to today. Today, at some point, I think it's Ozzy, Duff, somebody else doing an interview on Ozzy's new Ordinary Man song.
Yeah.
He had to cancel the tour. So, yeah, if you listen, I go on Sirius a lot. In the car.
Yeah, the same here.
It's amazing. Elton John's got a station. Billy Joel's got a station.
Pearl Jam
got a station.
Bruce
has a station. And they probably do it from their house and send it in.
Yeah. You know?
I'm not sure if they're in the studio. I don't know. Don't quote me.
Yeah.
But more people are doing it. I mean, I want to do something. If I did something on Sirius... Dean, I've always liked that little late night, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That 9 to 12 dude.
Yeah.
That 9 to 12 dude has to have a certain voice.
Oh, yeah. Jim Ladd. Remember him?
Yeah.
Jim Ladd.
He has to have a certain coolness to him.
Yeah.
A certain feel. When I was a kid, we had a guy on a black radio station, and he was a voice who was very, this next jam is going to really get into your heart and soul, you know what I'm saying?
Don Cornelius style.
And then he would go, all right. It was WBLS. And he used to go, I got to take 2 steps to the rear and get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm in the wind later.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now, Reverend Ike used to come on. You could be what you want to be.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do or say what you want to say. Just send Reverend Ike $3 a month. And I'll send you some black holy water that'll change your life. Every night at 10 o'clock, the guy came on, Reverend Ike.
The switchover.
But that's what I like to do, something like that. But anyway, all fucking goals aside.
Yeah.
The real reason I wanted to talk to you was something that happened that was weird for you and I, because we both grew up with these bands. And it was the fucking... Hall of Fame snubs this year, which I usually never cared about at all. And this year, for the first time, I got involved a little bit. I go, let me just see what's going on. Pat Benatar was in the running.
Oh, big time.
Judas Priest was in the running.
Yep.
Biggie Smalls was in the runnings. You know, Whitney Houston, Depeche Mode, Nine Inch Nails. I'm like, man.
Soundgarden.
That's Soundgarden. I go, that's a fucking hell of a fucking cast there.
Yeah.
You know, I know Dave Matthews was there, who I personally hate with all my heart, with his fucking best definite fucking voice. Go
ahead. Just before you start, I know how it works in sports where, like, you have to be retired for 5 years and then get, like, how do they choose who's considered for the Hall of Fame?
I think you got to be in the business for 20 or 30 years, one of those two. But you can still be playing. But you have to be eligible. You have to be playing for, like, I think it's 20 or 30 years, one of those two. 20, it might be 20, because some of that.
See if they have any requirements.
Yeah. Just
double check.
Yeah.
To see what are the requirements to be considered for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, eligibility.
See if it's amount of music, gold albums.
I think it's time.
Is it time?
Yeah, it's time. That's how bands get introduced, like every few years. They'll say such and such is eligible now. And then it's definitely time. I just don't know what it is. It's like 25 or 30 years. What makes a band eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
All right. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
It's funny, too, because... I bet a lot of people don't know what it is. I mean, I'm just guessing, but I think that's what it is. Because I talked to Robbie Krieger about it last week, and he said, oh, yeah, they started with the 50s bands because it was a certain amount of time before they were eligible. So, you know, Buddy Holly, James Brown, Elvis, all those people were eligible first because of the amount of time.
So what did you think of this year?
It says 25 years.
There it is. I knew it had to be. Wow. Yeah, 25 years.
25 years.
And that's it. And then it says the criteria is influence, significance of the artist's contributions.
Right.
But yeah, just 25 years after that
part
first
makes
album.
Me furious because it's they're bringing in bands now, that are, let's say, a Radiohead, which I love, and they deserve to be in right away. But you wouldn't bring in... So Nine Inch Nails went in this year, and Trent even said this himself. Devo and Kraftwerk are not in. And Nine Inch Nails is influenced heavily by Kraftwerk, Devo, and early industrial type of stuff that those guys were doing. And he's like, look, I shouldn't be in before Gary Numan. Gary Numan is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know? And it's in Kraftwerk and all those things that he listened to. So that's where they're making the mistake, because they're going for, as Steve Jones explained it to me on my podcast, they're going for ticket sales, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Get butts into the actual museum. And it's really weird because you're thinking like, well, you know, Devo, not too many people, you know, they're not a marquee thing, but they are. They're absolutely huge, and they influence the shit out of, you know, everybody. Everybody, like the Cars and all that new wave stuff. Devo was like the groundbreakers in the 70s in Ohio playing that shit, getting bottles thrown at him. Get out of here, you queer. You know, like they said it was radical. They'd be playing these redneck bars, you know, and they're like, I can't get no, in their underwear and shit. Satisfaction. And people are like, play some Boston or Skinner. You know, they just throw something at them. It's wild. So I think that's the mistake they make big time, that they don't get the influencers in first. And then, of course, these other bands should be in. Nine Inch Nails, of course they should be in, but not before Kraftwerk or Devo or, you know, Gary Numan or any of those guys, you know?
Well, I wonder how they even get brought up. I mean, how they even get brought up. I mean, somebody's got to bring them up. Somebody's got to bring up Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
Somebody has to bring up Devo. Somebody has to bring up these type of bands that, just because maybe, like, I know that if you hear stories, all that whole grunge scene was started by Mother Love Bone.
Right.
Mother Love Bone was the band that everybody fought to be, and they spawned Pearl Jam and
right.
whatever to it. But then the singer died.
Yeah, Andrew Wood.
Andrew Wood.
That was Cornell's roommate. Right. Chris Cornell's roommate.
He died, and everything changed, and blah, 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 blah. You know, should somebody like that band be inducted, who, I don't know, maybe had a few albums, had minimal success.
Right.
Compared to Soundgarden and Pearl Jam. See, that's the trick that you have. If I sit Eddie Vedder down right now, he's going to mention Mother Love Bone.
Yep.
I remember going to see Mother Love Bone and meeting somebody there. And,
yeah.
You know, and Cornell, rest his soul, if he was alive, I guarantee, or even Kim Thayil, if you asked any of those guys, you know, what do you think? They'll tell you 20 nights that they went to see Mother Love Bone.
Yeah.
And to figure out what their identity was going to be, you know? So I get what you're saying there. You know,
Yeah.
I guarantee if Cornell was still alive, we'd have said, hold on, let's put Mother Love Bone in there first.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for them, there wouldn't have been us, you know?
You look at those bands also, they... you know, definitely Sabbath was their blueprint also. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a tough thing. You know, people are like, well, Priest isn't in. And it's you know, if you look at the history of metal, there's no real metal bands, a lot of metal bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is kind of trips me out because they're basically kind of stepping over a whole era of music that was bigger than anything, say from like 78 to like 90. Metal was just ruling the world. Priest, you know, if you look at it, it's like Priest, Maiden, Saxon, Metallica. You know, Metallica's in there, but Maiden's not, which is like, what? You know, like, how is Maiden not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And I'm not one of those guys that are like, well, you know, how did they get you know, Biggie Smalls? Why is he? It's like, well, that to me, hip hop became the new metal. Once NWA and Biggie Smalls and Snoop and all that hit, that was like, that was heavy, heavy shit, man. That was like radical stuff at the time.
How did you feel when that came out? I mean, see, the thing I love, the why you and I connected musically is because you don't give a fuck.
No.
You understand the value of Public Enemy.
Oh,
like God. When I listen to Tom Morello's show and he plays old Public Enemy,
oh,
it slices through me like a sword because it was that influential to me listening to it. It blew my fucking mind.
Big time.
And it blew his mind.
Yeah.
And they transformed that into Rage Against the Machine.
Yep.
So it's just so weird. I'm open to anything.
Like, same
I
was, here.
I had friends who were like, fuck that black shit. Fuck it. I'm like, you have no fucking
idea. That's lunacy.
What you're saying. You have no idea. I remember somebody telling me something bad about Marvin Gaye one time, and I'm like, just yep. Listen to this particular album. You know, what's that one James Brown album? The Prince of Harlem, the whatever, something of Harlem, the Godfather of Harlem, or he's got one album that's got a weird name to it. Listen to that fucking album. The Black something. Jesus. My mind's starting to slip, that alpha brain. I got to go back on the cycle.
Oh.
I get off. I go on and get yeah. on. So, you know, it was...
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, turn me on. Like, I knew about this album.
Yeah.
But you know who reminded me about this album? Jerry Rocha. Reminded me about this James Brown album.
What year do you think it was?
60s.
In the studio?
Yeah. Black Julius.
Oh, yeah. Black Caesar.
Black Caesar.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's just a raw.
Yeah. And
when you hear that, you hear Public Enemy.
Oh.
You hear Wu-Tang.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You see all the influences that that album had on them.
It's Prince.
There's Black Caesar.
Black Caesar.
You hear Prince.
You yeah. hear. So, you know, this is why we could go on this forever, this trance forever. I mean, I was very surprised Nine Inch Nails got nominated. I mean, yeah. they came out of nowhere.
I'm glad they got in.
Me too. Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Love Depeche Mode.
I love Depeche Mode. Yeah. See, I know you're going to call me a fag. Yeah. Whatever. I don't know.
But this year, all the nominees I liked. I was down. You know, I was down for Pat Benatar.
I was down for Pat Benatar. The ones I didn't get, and to be honest with you, I got them all. I didn't get T-Rex.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're so... I'm not a T-Rex guy.
Right.
But they influenced the shit out of everybody. But they're glam rock, you right. know?
And then you have Thin Lizzy, who... I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that fucking song, I want to crash my car.
Oh, I can't take Boys Are Back in Town. Can't take it.
I want to take the car and yeah. go into a fucking building.
Yeah.
And I want the car to just blow up into flames. I've seen them do it in the movies all the time.
You can't believe how fast my arm is. It is ninja speed. When that comes on the radio, it's like...
But some
love
kid,
that band.
Some kid said something to me on Facebook years yeah. ago. And he's like, what do you think of Thin Lizzy? And because of that song... And at the time he caught me, I was so high.
Yeah.
I said, I can't. I just, you know, I gave him like the most honest answer. And he goes, that proves to me you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Go put on this album.
And yeah.
I'm like, go fuck you, you know, fuck.
Yeah. yeah.
Like an hour later, I'm like, dog, I forgot all about that album.
I love Thin Lizzy.
I had a friend that used to put that album on whenever we used to go steal sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He was older than I was.
Yeah.
He used to go steal sneakers. And that was his warm up album. Way before. Didn't they have like a live double album?
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
Where they both come out with guitars and the cover or something.
That record is so great.
Now Jailbreak.
Yeah.
I like the guitar on.
Oh yeah.
The fucking bass, the whole, there's parts I don't like that gets faggy when they all get into it. It's gonna be a jailbreak.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak.
But the way it opens up,
Let me tell you something. I love Thin Lizzy so much that it makes me furious when the DJs play that song. It makes me furious.
Well, now you know how I feel when I hear Have a Drink on Me.
Oh.
I'm going to take the car, pull over, and call the DJ and hope his mother dies of fucking terminal lung cancer.
Oh.
Because why are you putting on Have a Drink on Me?
They play the same songs from these bands. It makes me crazy.
They do.
You shook me all night long.
I fucking want to shoot myself.
Yeah. The boys are back in town. Skynyrd, Freebird. Like, these bands have...
Living After Midnight, which gets me fired up.
Yeah,
when I'm in the car, I think about my old days getting dressed and shit. 8 o'clock, putting on Living After Midnight. That was my thing. Living After Midnight, baby. Oh. Take my advice. You gotta start doing...
But these bands have... Dude, Thin Lizzy has a record. I love the John Sykes era, which is the last era. They have a record called Renegade, and it's... It's got this song on it, Angel of Death. Oh, man, it is so good. And that live, it's called Live Life, or Still Life. I forget what it's called. Live Life. It's insane, this Thin Lizzy record, man. I used to listen. That was when the weed first was coming around, to the strong weed, Indica. And my buddy Bob Dyke, he used to wear glasses. We called him Dyketicles. He had this El Camino or Monte Carlo with the Jensen triaxles and the super power amp, you know, in the glove box. And he put this record on.
It's called Life.
Yeah, Life. There's a song on there, Angel of Death, man. He put it on, and I was just like, this is incredible. I love Thin Lizzy, all of it, but Boys Are Back in Town. You know, and it's a hit song. And you know, when I first heard it, I loved it. It's like we were talking about. I don't need to hear Walk This Way ever again. But Aerosmith has so many insane, great, deep tracks. It's unbelievable how many great songs they have. Sight for Sore Eyes, Last Child, SOS Too Bad.
Nobody's Fault.
Nobody's Fault.
My favorite. Nobody's Fault and King and Queen.
King and Queen, No More, No More. I could go on and on.
I like the first album and the second. I like the first three albums more than...
Yeah.
Like, they're up there in my top 10 of my life. The first three Aerosmith albums.
Crush it.
Who I Am. Dirty.
Yeah.
Not Perfect.
Yeah.
The first album is very raw, which I like, the way they taped it, the sound of it. The second album is a little bit more polished. But I think for rocks, they went in between.
Yeah.
They took the best of both of those elements, which really, Nobody's Fault is dirty. The bass line is dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really dirty. I like all that. Toys in the Attic, I could live with.
Yeah.
Draw
the Line.
Draw the Line, I could live with. That's Kings and Queens.
Yeah.
And
Night in the Ruts.
Night in the Ruts, I could live with.
Yeah. You know,
I could put them all, listen to the whole album. But fucking those first three are my bread and butter till the end of time.
I can't believe how I saw him last week. I was telling you, and I've been listening to Aerosmith like 7 days since now, just nonstop, over and over. And I'm just like, I can't believe this band, actually. They're all alive. There's only two bands with original members, ZZ Top and Aerosmith. And they're all alive, and they sound better than ever.
And right while now. You watched them, to quote my friend, my dear friend Steve Avillo from the Past Masters that I grew up with, he's in a band called the Past Masters. He put it best to me. He goes, if you see Aerosmith, all it is all Guns N' Roses is Guns N' Roses on steroids.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses is Aerosmith on steroids.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Guns N' Roses, it's like the layout. If you look at Aerosmith, it's the same.
Yeah.
What do you call that? The blueprint.
Oh, yeah.
For Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. You got Joe Perry, that's Slash.
That's Slash. You know? It's just them on steroids.
Yeah. Brad Whitford would be the Izzy Stradlin over there keeping it quiet, but he's the killer songwriter, riff player. Then you've got the front man, Steven Tyler Axel. And then the bass player, Duff McKagan, Tom Hamilton. You know, it definitely is.
Both of them are tall.
Yeah.
Built the same.
Yep.
Lanky.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking crazy that they were the blueprint for it.
Yeah. They even covered Mama Ken on the first EP, Guns N' Roses. They were all about it. And I talked to Brad Whitford about it. I told him as I watched Last Child, which he wrote, I was watching him play it, and it was the first time it hit me last Monday. I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah, Slash, he took Joe Perry's vibe, but he took Brad Whitford's playing. And Brad said, you know, it's funny, is Slash will tell you that straight up. He'll tell you that's what he did. He took the combo and put them together, man. He took the playing of Brad and the vibe of Joe. And it hit me last week because Slash plays like Brad, you know? It's that kind of sound. And then the songwriting, they're looking at Aerosmith like you and I are looking at, like, say, Pryor. Each time you're writing a joke, you're like, this ain't good enough. This ain't good enough. And that's how they got that Appetite for Destruction, just throwing out songs that weren't good enough and coming at you with 10 crushers. They knew, you know? Good songwriting.
If this is too newsy, then we don't have to tell you. I'll cut it out. But isn't it Aerosmith? Is that the one that's going on having that issue with the drummer right now?
Yeah.
What's going on? That just seems crazy. Like I don't know any of the story behind it.
Well, he had a surgery, so he hadn't played with
and
them.
And this is the original drummer?
Yeah, Joey Kramer.
Joey Kramer.
And the night I went last Monday was his first night back.
Oh, they let him play, okay.
Yeah, he's back in now. But he had a surgery.
He had to pass the physical and made him do the thing.
Yeah.
It's a grueling schedule.
Yeah, so man.
You know, you're paying $65, $250, $300. You can't sound like shit. You got to respect their... I respected it. I was like, fuck, okay, this is what Aerosmith's all about. They didn't get to become who the fuck they are.
Yeah.
Because they want charity. They don't want a background drummer in the back playing.
Yeah.
They want Joey Kramer. I understand.
I know people always, you know, they were hitting me like, hey, why don't you ask Brad why they locked out the drummer and shit. It's like, they don't just do that. They're just not like one day like, hey, fuck Joey. Let's just lock the door. There's obviously a reason, you know, and they're not going to come out with personal stuff like, well, he had this and that and this and, you know, they're not going to do that. It's a lot like that Sabbath thing. I truly believe that Bill Ward, he couldn't do that whole tour. You got to get insurance to, you know, insure these tours. There's millions and millions of dollars involved. And you got to pass physicals and stuff. And if you can't do it, nobody's going to insure the tour.
He got a heavy.
Yeah.
He got really heavy. And, you know, his blood pressure was out of whack. A bunch of shit was out of whack. And I remember when I did the longest yard, dog, they were petrified every day.
Yeah.
You know, my blood pressure walking in there was 180 or 140.
Whoa.
The doctor would have to lie and sit there for 10 minutes before I go on the playing field. They were really fucking worried about me, you know.
Yeah.
When insurance is involved, it's crazy.
They don't fuck around.
I just got liability insurance when I go on the road, just in case. I just got it. Whoever's with me, they're insured. They fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everything's covered because you need all that shit.
Yeah, man.
That's what people don't know. You need all that stupidity.
But it's big business, man. And these bands have been... It's not like a band that's 5 years in where you're like, these are brothers, man. You cut your brother out. It's like, by then, it's like, well, this is a company. This band, you don't want to look at it that way, but it's a company. It's a business. It's a full enterprise. There's other people involved, and you're carting this thing around America. Somebody gets sick, die, because they weren't...
You know what the best part about comedy is the first 10 years?
Solo.
It's not a business.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you leave it like that, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
If you tell yourself, this is not a business, this is just me striving to be the funniest person in the world, it's a different mindset, and that's the mindset you should have.
Totally.
Your first 10 years, don't think of it as a business. It's an investment. It's your investment. Instead of taking dollars into your pocket and investing in Coca-Cola and wishing the stock stays up, you're investing in yourself that you're going to be healthy, the stock is going to stay up, and you know that at the end of the year, you're going to be that much better. Yeah, nobody wants to hire you right now. Yeah, you don't have 15 minutes right now. But in a year, watch my smoke. And that year goes by, and again, like you said, you don't think something happens, but something always does. Because maybe it's that third year where that year that you did snaps, and all of a sudden, now you're featuring.
You know?
So the first 10 years, it's not a business. Then it became a business, like the Eagles.
Right.
Take the Eagles, for example. They were the fucking number one band for all those years. They played that last show right here in Long Beach. They threw guitars at each other. They hated each other.
Yeah.
They took a hiatus. They said, they asked them for years, would you get back together? Hell has to freeze over. Somebody showed up with an envelope and said, hell froze over.
Yeah.
We're going to fucking pay you this amount of money.
Yeah.
Fucking, yeah. They were the first band that said, fuck it, we're going to have to charge $250 a ticket.
Yeah.
And guess what? They get together in a studio. Everybody pulls up in their Bentleys, the Mercedes Benz, and in comes Don, whatever.
Don Henley.
No, the other Don, the great, one of the greatest guitar players of our day, Feldman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
With a Z28, with a T-shirt on that says, you know, Che Guevara.
Yeah.
All of them got $100 Gucci shirts on, designer pants.
Yeah.
And he shows up with long hair.
T-tops.
Sniffling still, and they're like, oh. Yeah. We just got $250 million to do a tour. You better go get a haircut and get a suit. This became a business.
Now. Yeah.
And he couldn't accept it.
Yep.
And eventually, whatever happened, went back, and he's not in the band anymore. He couldn't be, oh, well, we became employees or whatever. It became a business.
Yeah. When you got a $250 ticket, it's a business.
It's a business. Yeah. You got to look your best. You got to be your best.
Yeah.
We can't have you up there looking like a fucking tootsie-roots.
Yeah.
You know, if I had it my way, I'd have 6 openers with me on the road.
Yeah.
I got a great heart. I would have 6 or 5 openers with me on the road and have a great time and go eat and write together and stuff like that. But I know that I would piss the audience off.
Yeah, too long.
The audience doesn't want to see 6 fucking openers.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to. I love bringing you on the road with me. I wish Lee gets 30 so I could. But guess what? My audience likes a woman in front of me better.
Yeah.
Because a lot of girls buy their boyfriends tickets. And then the girls are like, what the fuck? It's been an hour of dick.
Yeah.
And 2 hours of dick. Nothing for me.
Yeah, so, nutsack. You know, yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah.
It's not personal. This is a business.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to be tip top Magoo. And this even went for me.
Yeah.
You know, this even went for me. You know, you have to dress up a little bit. You have to look presentable. When I used to open up for Rogan, I wouldn't shave.
Yeah.
You know, you could see the bags under my eyes. I had scabs on my face from picking my face all night, doing blow.
Oh, man.
You know, you can't sell a $10,000 car with a $10 presentation.
Yeah.
You know, so this is what happens in all these things. It becomes a business. And with Joey Kramer, there's been plenty of bands that you got to look at the person and go, this guy's not going to fucking make it.
I know. People are never honest about it. It's bizarre to me.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's not going to make it. He's got a drug problem that he's had for 20 years. We're going on 20 years. He's worse than ever.
Yeah.
And now you want to pull him out for another fucking 40-city tour? Why are you doing this? That's a law of diminishing returns. You better have Rudy Sarzo on speed dial.
Yeah.
And hope he's not busy, because this guy's not going to make the fucking tour.
Yep.
You could tell. You know, it's like when you're, why would you, if fucking, I wake up on Thursday morning and I got 103 fever and I got a sold out weekend in Columbus, I have to think like a businessman. Okay, there's 2 options I have. A, I get my pussy fucking ass up. I take fucking 2 Tylenols and a fucking whatever. I get on a plane. Risk getting more germs to an already down immune system. go to Columbus, go up on stage, cough and sneeze.
Yeah.
The shows are 65% because you're coughing and sneezing like I'm a mook. Now you come back. Now guess what? You got bronchitis and then heightened to a light pneumonia.
Yeah.
Because you got open to all those fucking germs, but you got your check. But guess what? That pneumonia now prevents you from going on the road for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you can't. Do you follow me?
Yeah, you grabbed one to miss four.
You grabbed one to miss four.
Crazy.
Same thing happens now. Like, I wake up on a Thursday morning, something ain't right. Blah, 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 blah. We cancel. It hasn't happened. Knocked on wood.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you the truth, because I don't want to be in your town sniffling on stage with a cold. And then the worst thing you could do is open yourself up on a plane. Those planes are filthy. Listen to me. Those planes are filthy.
Oh, shitstorm.
There's a carnivore fucking whatever going on around.
Yeah.
I flew the last 2 weeks I've flown. People come right off that plane and you board it.
Oh, yeah, they ain't cleaning that shit.
They don't even spray Lysol.
They ain't spraying nothing.
Listen, they're in business to spread that shit.
Yeah.
Any fucking day now. Any fucking day now, it's going to start up with some airport. So knock on wood. But that's the thing with going back to Joey Kramer.
Yeah.
Going back to what we do. There's a day you decide when this becomes a business.
Yep. Yeah.
You have the right to call this a business. And also, you have to earn that right to call this a fucking business.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
I'm the CEO of what I do. What do? I get on stage 8 times a week, 8 nights a week. Yeah, but there's only 7. I get on stage 8 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know,
yeah. That's, yeah.
And that's the, I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about.
Well, I know it's like people are just complainers. You know what I mean? They just like to sit around and complain like, God, no Joey Kramer or, oh, GNR with no, you know, Steven Adler.
Didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Couldn't even tell they weren't there.
Yeah.
I've seen the greatest singers and people missing from bands of all time.
Yeah.
She sat right there where you were a month ago, and I told her that her husband did something nobody could do, and that was fill fucking Ozzy Osbourne's shoes. That was very fucking hard to do.
Yeah.
It was, you know, when Dio, I don't know, Dio joining Sabbath was a bit more shocking than Hager replacing Roth.
Yeah.
This was the end of a fucking era. This was 9 albums. People knew who Black Sabbath was.
Oh, yeah.
When Dio took that stage in Philadelphia, I'll never forget going, this guy, he might get shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they might send Sirhan's brother, the guy who shot Little Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah,
his
yeah.
cousin. They might send him here just to shoot Dio. I thought Dio was not going to make the tour.
Wow.
I really thought somebody was going to bazooka him.
Yeah.
You know, and this guy went out there amongst the fucking signs, bring back Ozzy. When I went to see him in Philly, there was 20 fuck you signs.
Yeah.
Bring back Ozzy.
Yeah.
He went out there with his little Maluka fingers and won him over.
Oh.
Won him over and banged it out and banged them out. And then left and started his band with Vivian Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to respect that. I told, I go, you don't know how many times I don't want to get up on stage and I think back of him going up on stage like the second night of the tour in Philly.
Yeah.
What he felt like. You're replacing Ozzy fucking Osbourne.
Yeah.
You know, Sammy Hagar's replacing fucking
Roth.
Roth. You know, these are band moves that some bands don't even look at when fucking, what's his name? When they replaced the chubby dude from Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah. With John Corabi.
Yeah, that shit didn't work at all.
No.
It didn't work at all.
No.
Like, not at all. Like, not even, they weren't even going for it. Like, at least my generation gave you a chance. My generation, the 70s, we gave you a chance.
Yeah.
We'll go one time. You know, that's how Yes started.
Yeah.
Yes
yeah.
was like the first band that two people left. And all of a sudden, people were like, oh, we're not going to see Yes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Heat of the Moment was born.
Yeah, yeah,
Six months later. What's the name of that band?
Fucking, what are they called? It was a heat of the moment. Oh, fucking, what are they?
It was two members from Yes, two members from some other fucking
band. What are they called? I know them, man. Oh, I fucking hate that. They're called,
John Welton?
No. What are they called? Shit.
Asia.
There it is. Yeah. Asia. Man. I don't know.
Two guys left. Two guys. That's what I don't. A lot of people get pissed off at that. Listen, look at Leonard Skinner. How many people do you think were originally left from Leonard Skinner?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think is in there? Fucking 8 of them died. 2 of them were alive, and they toured it for 20 years with a bunch of people that were toothless.
Yeah.
And they got the grandson in there, the son, the nephew.
Yeah.
You know, people do it. It works, man.
Yeah. If that was one band I refused to ever go see.
No.
Without me Ronnie, too. I was like,
I can't.
No. And, you know, that's what I tell people. If you are complaining, just don't buy the ticket. It's really that easy. You can sit home, watch YouTube of old footage of Skinnerd and enjoy life. Like, look at this Skinnerd, that one we love, Day on the Green. And just enjoy it. But these people are going, this is bullshit. It's like, just don't buy a ticket. I don't see how you get that worked up. It's crazy. Go see a new band. Go see a new band. You know? Go see Marcus King. Go see Rival Sons. Go see a new band and go, this is my band now. Fuck that other stuff. They don't got original dudes. I'm seeing this band. Go see that. That's what I tell people all the time. You live in a dream. I call them the hair metal tumbleweeds. They're blowing around Sunset. What happened? Fucking man, it used to be good. It's like, it's still good.
When I first moved to LA in 98,
yeah,
there were still guys on Sunset with tight black pants and leopard shirts walking around with guitar cases.
Yeah, yeah. Ralph's, rock and roll Ralph's.
Yeah, totally.
Getting the top ramen.
I'm totally fucking lost.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God.
I love music. I love the 80s. I love 2020. I love the 90s. But, you know, I love the 70s. I'm not a guy that's just like, this is it, and it was good for 2 years. Those are people that just use music as a memory of when they didn't have bills or a divorce or anything. It's just a time machine that takes them back to like, this is good music. It's like, no, that's just when you didn't have student loans, you know? Yeah. That's all that is.
A couple of weeks ago, we had Josh Adam Myers on here. He's got the show on Spotify. We're talking about Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
You know, not under the boardwalk, but the other jam. And I told him that the two different people sang it, and we came to that conclusion. And I said to him, have you ever heard The Platters?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I don't know what you're talking. I played The Platters, and that night I went home and started playing The Platters. And I was like, blown the fuck away.
Yeah.
Like crying. You know, you got the magic touch.
Ah.
When the twilight is gone, you come into my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And here in my heart, you will stay. Why pray? Tremendous, tremendous. Yeah. My prayer. This is 1950s. These are poor black kids in the fucking 50s.
Killing it.
Just... And their voices were pure. Listen to the tapings. They knew how to fucking record in those days.
Oh, man.
They knew how to fucking record. You listen and you're like, oh, my God, it's fucking crystal clear.
Oh, Motown recording.
Yeah.
Hitsville. Well, but I went to that studio. All that shit. It was like the size of this room. You know? They're in there recording all those hundreds of hits that just sound incredible. Those 50s recordings are just the Temptations. When you hear that, my girl, it just comes on. It's all,
clean.
It's
clean.
Super warm.
Clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how the fuck they taped all that stuff.
Yeah.
I love music, man.
I do too.
I could talk music for fucking hours. It's amazing how much music I listen to in a day.
Still. Oh.
And when my wife tells me she's got to leave for an hour.
Yeah.
And I could really crank it. Oh my God, I fucking crank it.
Oh, yeah.
When I know they're gone, like the Universal for 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's fucking loud.
Some air guitar? You got some Joey air guitar?
No. I'm too old to air guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Momo shit.
Oh.
I air guitar in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I told you when I first moved to Boulder, I moved to an apartment, you know, a four-bedroom apartment. Somebody else rented each room, college students.
Yeah.
There was a Japanese kid. There was a little Mexican kid I eventually robbed after about a month. He kept telling me, I worked under the sun for that money. Go fuck yourself. Next time, mind your business. There was a Jap. But the white guy was a guy that went to air guitar contest.
Yeah.
This was 1985.
Air guitar contest.
And those two idiots would sit in at Friday nights. They would sit in every night, and that guy would do air guitar concerts in the living room. Whoa. I thought I had to kill all three of them at one
point. Oh, my God.
I'm out there fucking the girl downstairs, the girl two doors down, the chubby girl next door that would buy weed. I fucked her in the alley a couple times. And these three idiots are in their living room. Two of them are sitting there splitting a six-pack.
Oh.
Watching the idiot do air guitar shit.
Oh, those are some freaks.
I wanted to kill
them. Those are some freaks.
Eventually, I hired the Japanese kid to cook for me. The Japanese kid could cook, so I'd give him like a small 40.
Yeah.
Go to Alfalfa's, get some steak for me and you, and he would cook every night. I was helping him out.
He was
starving. His parents didn't want to send him money. He didn't know what to do. He came to me crying when I don't know what to do. My parents, they don't money. And I can't pimp him out. I didn't know anybody. If it was New York, I would have had him out there sucking dick.
Oh.
20 minutes. I know Puerto Ricans that take you to the Bronx. Nobody knows nothing.
Oh.
But I didn't know anybody in Colorado. So I just said, you cook? And he did cook.
Wow.
So I could cook.
Man.
And I would make him make little beef dishes. So we would go to Alfalfa's together. That's the Whole Foods of Boulder at the time.
Yeah.
We would go to Alfalfa's. The meat was a little bit more expensive, but it was fucking good. But it's just weird. You reminded me of air guitar. No, I haven't had air guitar since I was, I think, in the eighth grade. I used to air guitar Ted Nugent, Free for All, cover to cover.
Oh, yeah.
And then put on Double Live Gonzo and air guitar that cover to cover. Yeah. And then put on the Eagles, Hotel California.
Oh.
And I could fucking air guitar Victim of Love like nobody could.
Oh.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with?
Shit.
Are you fucking nuts?
We might have to have you air guitar at the Bon Scott tribute.
I may do it.
Just out there Angusing it.
I may do it. Think, Lee, another edible to get us going on a Tuesday. You're not even high yet.
Sure. Look at you.
What the fuck?
That'd be Tuesday. So great, it's dude.
Leave that alone.
It's my birthday tomorrow. What
57.
Hey, 57, you don't want to do another edible.
I've just done 200.
I yelled at him before. I go, I'm 57 years old. I'm 57, your dad's 60. This fucking cocksucker should have two broads here eating each other out right now for his father and me.
Eyes are closed.
He didn't even think about that. He didn't think of not even a little gift for his Uncle Joey. I don't want you to buy a gift. I want you to be creative. I want you to call ayahuasca. I wanted to come here and you to tell me and your dad to wait downstairs. You had a surprise. And we come up here and ayahuasca be playing with a monkey while you had your pipe in the mouth. Just to show you, me and your dad who the boss is. I think you're going to impress me today, but
I'll kill my dad, and then you'll have a video.
No, I don't want you to kill your fucking dad. I want him to keep living. I think you're going to impress me today. You're going to have a threesome waiting for us here, two chicks licking your asshole.
The day is young.
And you tell him. Me and I was waiting to get here and for Dean Delray to go, Lee's not letting me in the office today. Lee's not letting you in there.
Threesome Lee.
The gate would open and your father's here. Where's Lee? He told me to come down. And we knock and you'd say, go fuck yourselves all 3 years. I'm getting my dick sucked. Fuck the church.
It's my birthday.
I'd probably knock and go, you know what?
Yeah.
Thank God. Who gives a fuck about the podcast?
Let him roll.
Go get three fucking broads for your dad tonight. Yeah,
Lee.
Look at Lee. Lee thinks like I'm joking.
Closed eye,
no,
Lee.
No, you're not.
You're the young one here. You should be setting all this up.
Yeah, I don't know where you find three whores, but
you know where. You know where. You know exactly where to find them.
Yeah.
You know. If anybody knows, you know. You know everything. You know everything. You know apps.
Lee Dog.
Fucking
you. But everyone who buys a whore on an app goes to jail because there's a text.
You kept
trail.
The code from the one Escobar gave you up there. And
they closed that site.
You see how Craig goes, they closed that site.
They closed that site.
No, that site's not happening.
He knows. He knows. He knows. He just don't want to fucking
I know how to do it, but there's a paper
trail. I don't know how to do it.
Paper trail.
What are you, fucking Quincy?
When did you text him? When you text him? What are you talking about?
So I text him that you want to meet him to tutor Matt.
Wow. Yeah.
How much for an hour of Matt? You're talking code.
How come it's $400?
Well, then you tell him.
That's four roses. Remember that one?
The math tutor I had was $300. And she walked out the back door. That means she let me fuck you in the ass.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Come on. You got to learn how to say this.
All right.
I hear you paint houses. Yeah. And I do dry work also. That means I fucking bury the bodies too. That's all I'm saying to you. You gotta
fucking. Things didn't end up too well for him.
Huh?
Things didn't end up too well for him.
I'll translate.
Grape juice.
Things didn't end up too well for him. That's my lead dog. There's a minute. Yeah.
Wait, you got a hooker tonight. Will you leave the apartment? Go get some crabs on your bed. What do you care? Go get some excitement. When was the last time you found a crab anywhere close to your body?
Never.
Or you found one in your
eyeball?
Why do I want to have sex crabs jumping out of my eyeballs?
Because I thought you have something on your resume. Your resume is blank right now. No chlamydia.
Get your comedy good.
Yeah, get your comedy good. You go to the doctor and get a shot in your dick once a month. Like your buddy. He goes, doesn't he have a different disease once a month?
Not every month, but he's had a couple.
All right, then you gotta fucking do what he does. You know what I'm saying? I can't believe I'm 57, guys.
57, dude.
I still remember turning 18 and them having a party for me and fucking. They had tampons and shit. They were blowing. Fucking.
Oh,
got hammered. My friend Louis Hernandez was pissing in the toilet. He was puking in the toilet.
Oh.
I'll never forget. I was this fucked up. I just opened up the bathroom. And my friend Louis's head was in the toilet. And I go, Louis, excuse me. I pulled his head back. He just sat like this.
Oh.
And I peed right in front of him with his head back.
Oh.
I flushed the toilet. I put his head back in the toilet.
Oh, my
the
God.
The next day, I go, what happened to you? He's like, man, I got fucked up. I don't remember nothing. I could have made him suck my dick. He would have never remembered.
Yeah.
I could have put it on his nose. He would have never known.
He could have gave him the old flesh mustache.
His head was just in the toilet. I just tipped it back.
He sounds so disappointed.
Who?
You. I could have done it.
I want, you're young.
Yeah, you for comedy.
Feelings. He's my brother. I can never. It's a joke, Lee.
I know the joke.
But it was just so funny that that's all I did. He was passed out with his head in the toilet seat.
Pushed you to the side.
God knows how many people had pissed in that bathroom.
Oh.
And I just went, pulled his head back. It just rested. I put my dick as close as I could out of disrespect. I didn't want him to get hit with no fucking.
No splash.
No splash. No pee splash. And I fucking let loose in there. And then I put his head right back like nobody knew. And he stayed there till we left the party. We
dragged him
out of their fucking body first.
Oh, what are you going to do for your birthday? You going out?
I'm doing the store tonight.
Yep.
You know? No. Nothing.
No. I didn't do anything. 50. We got to get some steaks.
I'm going to get a haircut.
You want to get some steaks this week?
Nah.
Man.
I got to get in shape. I got to do something in March. I got to look good. I put on some weight the last couple of weeks.
Steaks, though. It's clean.
No, steaks aren't clean.
I know.
Get cleaner.
Fuck it.
I need to look sharp by March 8th.
Oh,
I need
man.
Tip top Magoo. I got to do some shit. I got to look good for the camera.
Yeah. I'm trying to lose like 5 for the AC/DC concert.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just want to, because that's like an hour and a half of singing. I just want to be like, I'm hitting the treadmill like hard, you know, bike, treadmill, cardio. Because, you know, when I did it when I was 50, I realized that's when I had diabetes the first, like, I didn't know I had it at the time, but I remember after I did the show, I sang the show for like an hour and then got in my car, I was driving home, I was like, whoa, something's wrong with me. Yeah, I was.
Really? That's the first time you realized?
Yeah, well, I knew something was up. I couldn't sleep or whatever. You know, I was laying in bed like ice cold. I thought I was just exhausted from, putting that show together. But when I look back on it now, I'm like, that was the first night. Because I remember my buddies were in the car in the back seat and they were talking. And I was just like, shut up in my head. You know, because I was like, something was wrong. It was wild. So I like to be in total shape for that thing, man. It's an hour and a half of singing. When you don't sing every day, that's a grueler. You're using different muscles on your body. And now I'm going to have to sing it kind of still because of the neck. I can't be up there rocking. I'm like the old rocker now with the neck surgery, like Tom Araya from Slayer. He had to go get some neck surgery. He never got the headbang again.
Oh, no.
Crazy. But he said he sang better than ever. He goes, yeah, I'm not all winded from headbanging now. I'm just up there killing it, you know? Oh, live so forever.
So crazy. Your musical enthusiasm is so contagious.
Oh, man.
When you talk music, it's fucking contagious. Oh. I fucking love it, my brother.
I love you, dude.
Well, no, man. Next Friday, we're in fucking Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Treasure Island, one show.
Oh, man.
In and out. I was hoping that you could hook us up with tickets for something Saturday night, but there's nothing going
on. There's nothing going on. What a bummer. I wish Aerosmith was playing the next night. We would be in heaven.
In heaven. Nothing. I looked to see if there was a comedian maybe I wanted to see and watch.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Looks like I'm coming home on Saturday morning. But Treasure Island, like, I'm excited. I got a couple workouts at the store before I go, you know.
Yeah.
I like what I'm doing now. I got no pressure comedy. Whatever comes out, and I'm doing better sets than I've ever had. When I really, really want to try new stuff, I try it out of order at the store, and I bomb.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's my fucking backyard. It really doesn't matter anymore. You know, I'm going to give you the best show I got. I'm writing, so yeah. I'm really kind of, I haven't felt this confident in a long time, and I'm like, fuck. Takes 29 years to get confidence. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I only got 19 more years to go.
Like, it takes 29 years to fucking fully get confident that you could fall back on stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I could fall back on a story if something's not going my way.
Yeah.
Like, now all that stuff, all those little avenues fall into fucking place, you know?
So yeah,
this is, the fucking journey of life is beautiful. I
love it.
Fucking 1985, I had dinner by myself for my birthday.
Yeah.
Like, just at the Enchanted Lily Chinese restaurant.
Oh, man. In
Fortley, New Jersey. And I was 23 years old. And I can't describe to you the feeling that I had that night. I had enough money for the Chinese dinner, a bag of reefer, and a Carvel milkshake.
Oh, fuck. That's it. 1985.
I was living in a hotel down the corner at one of those fucking crack hotels. I was robbing gas stations pretty much. You know, like, I was in between.
Yeah.
Doing stupid shit. And that's what I keep thinking about the last 2 days.
That's wild.
How lonely I felt in that Chinese restaurant that night at 8 o'clock eating.
On your birthday.
By myself, 1985, the night that Jimmy Conway died from Goodfellas. He died on February 19, 1985.
Oh.
If you watch Goodfellas at the end.
Yeah.
And I go to myself, holy shit, he died on the loneliest birthday I ever had in my life.
Oh.
That was
his day was worse.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was just fucking horrible. But to think that, guys, I thought I was going to be dead at 37.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah.
I thought that at this age I'd be living in somebody's backyard. Somebody who had pity on me would charge me like $400 for rent.
Oh.
I didn't think I'd have a daughter. I think I'd be
dude, you just sold out the fucking Chicago theater.
It's not even that. It's just the thought of being alive, being functional.
Yeah.
And not being wanted by the cops or not having somebody look for me. I never thought that I would have that peace of mind. I think of how I lived for years, that what was that Uncut Gems lifestyle. And I think of now, and it's like two different fucking worlds. You know, I never thought that. So whatever you're going through in your life, believe in yourself that greener pastures come. You're going to suffer.
Yeah.
They're not just going to hand it to you. You're going to have to put in the fucking work and get dirty and, you know, you might even get the carnivore disease on the way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Once you get to that place where you thought about, you know, and it's nothing. And you know what the best thing is? This is not about selling out the Chicago theater or having money in the bank. Nothing. This is just about genuinely being happy.
Absolutely.
Genuinely loving my wife, loving the fucking the house. You know, I like staying home, the peace of mind. Just success is what you want. If you want a boat with two chicks on it, that's your success. Go for it.
Yeah.
That's a success I wanted in the beginning. That never got me anywhere. When I just went to for being happy, then everything else fell into place.
So that's weird. Truth right there.
And I see your happiness. I see the pictures last week of you in Orlando with the gay ghost.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You even took a picture and there was a gay ghost behind you.
Oh, man.
He was about to bite you in the neck.
My mom came to the gig.
Now, where's your mom live?
She lives about an hour outside of Orlando. So she finally got to see me do comedy. It's in my Instagram. She showed up. She reviewed the show. And, you know, it's funny to think, you know, my mom probably, when she heard I was starting comedy at like 44, she was probably going like, oh, no, you know, what's going on with my son? Is he going crazy? And there it is, 10 years later, I'm in Orlando with Maren at this theater, and she's there, and I had a great set, thank God. Maren's like, a lot of people bomb in front of their parents. Yeah, you killed it, thank God. You know, because then they're like, oh, yeah, good shows, honey. Yeah. But it was great. It was great to see her, you know. I hadn't seen her in a while. And she never seen me do comedy, because when I started, she was out here. She came out. But I was doing spots, you know, open mics. And it was like, I don't want to bring her to the open mics. Or I'm doing like 1 a.m. spots. And she's in bed by then, so she didn't see me do comedy. She saw Conan when I did Conan. But to come to a theater with her friend and see the, like, smoking set, you know, it was a great set. That was awesome.
My brother, it's always a pleasure to see you.
No, I love you, dude. Happy birthday.
Yeah. I thought about who I could have on today and make me happy.
So great.
It was either you or Steve Simone or both of you.
Yeah.
Steve Simone's making pork on Friday, so
ooh,
you're coming over to the house. We're going to order some Sicilian pizzas from your favorite place.
Nice.
I'll hook you up like me, cocksucker.
Oh.
Five of these fucking things.
Stop poking me.
Stop poking me.
You want more of that respect. Nah. Because your resistance, you're not as high as yesterday. I'm watching you.
All right.
What the fuck?
No. You know,
oh. It's my birthday. You're going to refuse a man on his birthday. I'm fucking 30 years older than you.
See, I like this
I'm
is
over
a,
here running fucking.
I said yes, and then you still say no.
You guys went light today too, compared to like usually it's a couple hits of acid.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right? He didn't want to know dealing in one of those barbiturates. He told me he's got a I got a Uber.
Barbiturates.
I got a girl that hooked us up.
Oh.
She's coming in here and she's got ketamine.
Yeah.
When they put it in your IV, it's a new form of therapy.
Whoa.
So we're gonna get hooked up, we're gonna get IV right in the arm, put our feet up. Go to La La Land for a couple of days.
I'm sure everything you're doing is tested and approved. And
this is
it fell off the back of a truck somewhere.
No, these are all clinics. They're all set up and real.
How did they get from the clinic to here?
Express. You know how
hilarious.
I'm telling you, we might take a flight. Don't worry about it. We might take a flight to Portland. We'd lay down at the hospital. They give us a ketamine drip. We'll take Duncan with us.
Yeah.
Have a good day for 3 days. For you motherfuckers who don't know, now you know. Friday, the 28th, I think it is. It doesn't matter because the month's got 29 days.
Yeah.
Figure it out. It's a Chinese New Year, the year of the rat. Watch that pussy. Anyway, next Friday night, bitches, Treasure fucking Island, 8 p.m., Dean Del Rizzi, Uncle Joey, fucking going fucking bananas next week. I'm excited about Vegas.
I can't wait.
They got a good open turkey sandwich over there at the Treasure Island. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got Reefer Heavy Duty showing up. We got everything. So if you're not doing anything, then the next date I have is March 27th in Santa Barbara, California at the Arlington motherfucking theater. I got to do some things in March. So if you need to see me the next 2 months, that's the only places you'll see me. Real quick, I want to give a shout out. The church is brought to you by, as usual, CBDLion.com. Let me tell you something. I reached out to them. I bought one of their products by mistake. I like the cover or whatever. It made me feel so good. I reached out to them and my life has changed. I love the gummy bears, the strawberry, raspberry, orange. I love the bath balls. I love like I told you. Their ointment, their CBD ointment, the 1,000-milligram cream, whatever it is. It helped me with my hamstring. Now my skin looks so good on my legs that I've been using on my leg lately. And when I went to Arizona this week and I looked at my calves to see if they were dry, Fuck no. The skin looked beautiful. I looked like I had black skin, only it was white. You know what I'm saying? It was nice and shiny. No lumps in it. It was nice.
Oh.
Nicey nice.
Don't forget about the pet tincture, too.
They got the tincture. That's tremendous.
For your dog.
And for your dog. Listen, CBD Lion, they're the way to go. Why buy it at an airport? Why buy it at a fucking whatever when Uncle Joey's got it for you right here? Go to CBDLion.com. Take a look at the third-party lab results. Take a look at all. They got Shatter. They got the vapor pen with the vitamin E. No vitamin E. No acetone to fuck up your lungs. So you sound like Lee every 3 months coughing and shit. Listen, CBD Lion is the way to go. Don't waste your time on fucking liquor stores or fucking people with turbans trying to sell you fucking CBD. They got nothing to do with it. That was invented right here by fucking, what's her name, Betsy Ross. She made the flag out of hemp. I don't know. Just do me a favor. Go to CBDLion.com. It's the way to go. Press in church and get 20% off your order. Number two, my fucking family on it. The best. I'll see them in Austin, Texas fucking in 2 months. Tremendous. Listen, go to onit.com right now. Shroom Tech is big right now. The immune with all these fucking Chinese people walking around breathing around your throat. I would have immune fucking... I would have immune, whatever the fuck it is, all over. Rub it in your bathtub. Don't order. I haven't had an egg roll in 11 days. I'm boycotting it. I'm done. It's all over. I haven't gone for a massage.
You're doing your own quarantine.
I told my acupuncturist to suck my dick. It's over. I'm running with the Jew chick again. I can't risk one of those fucking carnivore needles in me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Next, you know, I'm turning purple. I'm doing karate moves. I don't need that shit. And neither do you. Go to Onnit.com right now. Take a look at the Shroom Tech Immune. Take 18 of them. And if you're around anybody that's kind of fucking that eats lizards or whatever, boom. Those motherfuckers were eating bats. Who eats a fucking bat? Why do you do this to me? Why do you make me fucking sick to my stomach and eat a bat? Anyway, Shroom Tech Immune, don't worry about nothing. Take four of them. You could fucking have a China guy breathe on you 18 times.
Still don't eat a bat. You go on a cruise.
You'll be fine. And if you go on a cruise, you deserve to die, you dumb fuck. Fuck you, cocksuck. Anyway, go to Onnit.com right now and press it.
Church.
And get 10% off your order delivered right to the crib. Who's better than Uncle Joey? Nobody. I want to thank Dean Del Rizzi. I want to thank the Christ Killer. But most importantly, I want to thank you motherfucking savages for always having our back and for loving us. Don't forget, next Friday, Treasure Island, bitches. Stay black. Have a great week. See you Monday. Ready to go. Tip top motherfucking Magoo.
Boom.
Saluting the flag like you fucking own it. Stay black. Be safe. Love you, Uncle Joey.